Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning, and as we gather together to worship God and to sing songs of praise to Him and study His Word together. As was announced earlier, Doug's out of town, and the elders have asked me to prepare a sermon this morning, and I'm so grateful for the opportunity again to stand before you and to bring to you a sermon from God's Word. I hope and pray that the topic that we discuss this morning will be of benefit to you. More than anything, I hope it'll be scriptural. And so if you hear anything that is of error or that anything that you have questions about, you'll definitely be my friend to speak to me about it and to bring it to my attention as we try to strive to please God. To begin this morning, I would like to make a confession. I struggled to decide on a topic for today's sermon for several days. I kept bouncing around different ideas, and during the course of coming to a topic, I usually actually end up writing about five or six parts of sermons. I confess that this is a shortcoming that I have. I confess that sometimes it's a difficulty I have to come to a topic. If you're listening carefully to what I just said, I used a word quite a bit right there, didn't I? And you might have picked up on today's topic of today's sermon. Confession. We make confessions all the time, don't we? And the Bible has a great deal to say about confessing, or the word confess. Both in the Old and New Testament, confession has been commanded by God of His people in some capacity. The word confess truly means to acknowledge something. This morning, I would like for us to look into God's Word and to discuss the word confession. What does it mean to confess? What kind of confessions does every man have to make, every woman have to make? We're going to be focusing on three confessions that every servant of God must make. Three confessions that every servant of God must make. Our first point this morning is that every servant of God must confess Christ. Every servant of God must confess Christ. If you'll turn with me in your Bible, this morning I'm not using a PowerPoint, so I'd love it if you all could grab a Bible and turn with me to several passages. But we're going to be going to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And I'll be reading verse 15. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. This passage is short, but it's very much to the point. God commands us to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This acknowledgement, this declaration, is commanded of each and every person, and it is essential. If our desire is to abide in God and to have God in us, then we have to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Can a person be a disciple of Jesus Christ and not confess Jesus to men? The answer is no. We have to confess him to men. If you'll turn with me over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verses 32, I'll be reading verses 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, or acknowledge me before men, him will I confess or acknowledge, also before my Father which is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must confess and acknowledge that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Son of God. And to not do so means that we're going to be denied by him. If we are unwilling to confess that Jesus is the Christ to those people that we know, then on the day of judgment, Christ is going to deny us. Throughout history, people have been discouraged. People have been threatened to confess that Jesus is the Christ. In Scripture, we have some examples of that. Please turn with me over to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And in verse 22, it reads, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. The Jews faced a choice here. They believed on Jesus, but would they confess him? If they made the choice to confess Jesus to people and to confess him among men, they were going to be put out of the synagogue. Also, three chapters later, in John chapter 12, there's a similar situation that's recorded for us. John chapter 12 and verse 42. John 12, 42 reads, "Nevertheless, many even of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue." Authorities who heard and saw Jesus, saw him in the flesh, heard him speak, saw his teaching, believed in him. They knew that he was the Messiah. But unfortunately, they were unwilling to take the next step, which is confessing him before men. Verse 42 even records that it wasn't a few authorities who felt this way, but many authorities actually believed that Jesus was Lord. But they would not confess him. Why wouldn't they confess him? What was the reason? The scripture tells us they feared the Jews. They were unwilling to confess because they feared the Jews, and again, they feared being put out of the synagogue. Doesn't this remind you a great deal of Acts chapter 5? In Acts chapter 5, you have a situation in which Peter, is standing before the high priest and the council. They have miraculously been released from prison. They are being threatened again to not proclaim the Christ. What's their response when they are threatened? What's their response when they're told, stop preaching about this Jesus? Well, it tells us in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. I'll actually begin reading in verse 27. "And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly charge you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Verse 29 it reads, "But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men." We must obey God rather than men. That's the response that Peter and the apostles had. A follower of Jesus Christ cannot be swayed by thoughts of, well, you know, if I confess Christ to others, I might lose some friends. That's probably true. You might. We can't be swayed by, well, you know, I might lose my job if I confess Christ. I might lose my livelihood if I confess Christ. You might. That might be true. Or, you know, I can't confess Christ because I'm going to have to change who I am. I'm going to have to change the way that I think and the way that I do things and the things that I go and participate in. Yeah, you might have to. If you truly love Christ, won't you do those things? Won't the person who truly loves Christ confess him and do whatever is required so that you're pleasing in the eyes of God? If you truly want to be his disciple, you will confess Christ come what may. To obey Christ, we must confess him. Another confession that relates to the servant of God as revealed in Scripture is that we have to confess sin. The confession of sin. God's Word not only commands us to confess Christ, but we have to confess our sins. A passage that speaks very well to that is James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James 5:16 reads, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working." And then from there, it speaks about Elijah as being a man of prayer and how God listened to him. Is confessing your sins one to another just a mere suggestion? Is it just a good idea? Or is it something that's commanded through inspiration of God's Word? It's a command, isn't it? We are instructed to confess our sins to one another so that others may pray for us. So often we are tempted to keep our sins to ourselves, to keep our transgressions to ourselves. Why do we do this? Why do we struggle so much to let other people know that we have fallen short and that we have sinned? I think the answers are pretty obvious, don't you? First of all, we worry about what others are going to think about us. It might ruin our reputation in some way. There are several different definitions of the word confess, and one definition that somewhat ties into this right here with the confession of sin is a definition that reads, admitting or acknowledging something reluctantly, typically because one feels slightly ashamed or embarrassed. Does sin make us feel ashamed? I think we've all been there, haven't we? Does sin embarrass us? Yes. To confess sin is humbling. We cannot dwell upon what others think of us, but rather do what God has instructed us to do, because we need people's prayers. We need Christians praying for us when we have stumbled and fallen. God wants me to confess my sins so that I may be healed. And that's what this teaches here in James 5:16. Another reason why we may be tentative or not want to confess our sins to others is because we may be thought of as weak. We don't want others to look at us as being a weak Christian. Growing up, I attended at the Beaver Dam Church of Christ. And my grandfather was an elder there for many, many years, and most of my family were all Christians. So I was regularly there at services. And I would see Sunday morning or Sunday night, Wednesday evening, people coming forward. And I would notice that sometimes it was some of the same people. Every couple months or every 6 months or so, here comes sister or brother so-and-so again to confess sin to the congregation, to ask for prayers of the church. They were struggling with sin, and they realized that they needed help. They needed to come back to God, and they needed the prayers of the saints. Do we look at that Christian who does that as being weak? The Christian who confesses sin, do we look down upon them? Oh, here comes sister so-and-so again. Oh, brother so-and-so who's struggling with such and such. I guess they haven't shaken the habit yet. Do we look down upon them? Do we think they're hopeless? Consider a teaching that Christ gave us in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I'll begin reading in verse 9. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves they were righteous. Jesus is speaking to people who believe that they're right in the eyes of God. There's nothing wrong with me. Let's see what he says to them. Verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus. Brethren, notice the amount of I's that are in this next statement. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. That's what he's saying. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I get. What's he saying there? What's this Pharisee doing? He has an eye problem, doesn't he? And it's not about his vision. It's about him being conceited and selfish. On the other side, you have the tax collector. Verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven. Why wouldn't he lift his eyes to heaven? Do you think he felt the shame of sin? Do you think he was embarrassed? Do you think he was humbled by God and he was showing reverence to him? And he beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Saying, I'm a sinner. Show mercy on me, God. And by him not showing his eyes up to heaven, he's saying, I'm not even worthy of it. Verse 14 tells us the conclusion about how Jesus feels about this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The man with humility who confessed his sin was praised by Jesus. He was exalted. while the Pharisee was humbled for his pride. There's a great responsibility that is so important on the part of the sinner, but also on the part of the person who hears confess sin. When we sin, we need to do what the Bible instructs in James 5:16, and we need to confess our sins one to another. We need their prayers, we need their encouragement so badly. We need to be strengthened. But likewise, when a Christian confesses sin, we need to show love. We need to show humility towards them because weren't we there one time? Don't we struggle with sin? Aren't we sinners that need forgiveness so badly? Let it never be said of us that we responded to a sinner confessing sin with arrogance or with pride or with judgment. We must, as Christians, confess our sins, but also love those who confess theirs and pray for them. Proverbs 28:13 reads, "Whoever conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy." We will not prosper, brethren, if we keep our transgressions to ourselves. Confessing sin is very important if we want to obtain mercy from our Lord. On the topic of confession so far, we have discussed the need for each of us to confess Christ and the need for each of us to confess our sins to each other so that we can pray for one another. Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 5 and 6. Revelation 3, verses 5 and 6. "The one who conquers will be clothed thus in white garments, and I will never blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The goal in this life is not what the world says it is. It's not what most of the influences in your life say is important, whether it's the person on TV or the person on the internet. Even some of our family members and friends, they don't know what's most important. The Christian's goal is not to obtain wealth and to be rich and famous. The Christian's goal is not to obtain power and to be filled with pride. The Christian's goal is not the obtaining of physical things and then being obsessed with them. Our goal, brethren, is to have our name confessed by Jesus Christ before the Father. And if we accomplish that goal of Jesus confessing us before the Father on the day of judgment, we will have done it all. That's our goal. That's the day that we long for. On our most difficult of days or challenging of moments, we have a blessed conclusion to look forward to, don't we? Jesus confessing our name and being in his presence forever. Do you want your name to be confessed by Jesus before the Father? Ironically, this morning, the first song that Don sung ended up tying into this sermon. And I caught that as we were singing it. The third verse of the song, the lyrics read, "Then will he own my worthless name before his Father's face. And in the New Jerusalem, appoint for me a place." We want God to take our worthless name and make it something, don't we? We want him to claim us. We want him to confess us before the Father. Here in verse 5 of Revelation 3, it says that we must conquer. What do we have to conquer? We have to conquer sin. We have to conquer and overcome the world. If you're in sin this morning, and if you're not a Christian, have you considered this? Have you considered that you're actually going to confess Christ at some point? Scripture is very plain that at some point or another, whether on this earth or in the judgment, every single person is going to confess Jesus. From the most stubborn of people, the most wicked of people, to the most humble, every person is going to confess Jesus Christ. That teaching comes from Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11. It reads, "For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You will either confess him now or later. It's your decision. Because every tongue shall confess to God, and every knee will bow. Do you desire to have Jesus confess your name before his fathers and his angels? Do you desire to be clothed in white garments and to have your name written in the book of life? Then why not confess Christ? Why not confess your sin? Why not obey him then? This morning we've talked about what the Bible says about confession. We've looked at several verses that talk about the need for us to confess Jesus as the Christ, to confess him to men, to never be ashamed of it. We have also discussed how we must confess our sin to each other, to pray for one another and encourage each other. And also we have discussed the conclusion that we desire to have our name confessed by our Lord. If you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to consider something. What will it be like on the day of judgment if you think the opposite? What will it be like on the day of judgment to be standing before the Lord, standing before the Father and his angels? Names are called. You hear name after name. Yours isn't called. It makes your heart sink, doesn't it? What would it be like to be there and your heart or your name is not mentioned? Your name is not confessed by Jesus to the Father. And not only does it not end there, but what does that mean if my name is not confessed? It means eternal pain and suffering. Let your desire this morning be to do what the gospel requires so that you may have your name confessed by our Lord. Become a Christian this morning and wash away your sins in baptism and abide in Christ. Also this morning, if you are a Christian, several of the topics touched on things that all of us as Christians need to work on. Do you confess Christ to others? Are you afraid of proclaiming him to men? Do you confess your sins to one another? When a person confesses sin to you, do you pray for them? Do you encourage them? Do you have sin right now in your life that you have not confessed? We are here this morning to pray for you. We are here this morning to encourage you to confess your sin and to repent from it so that you likewise can have your name confessed before the Father. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, would you please come forward as together we stand and sing.